Good night, one and all, those far and near. Just want to say, if I don't get a chance to, Happy New Year to each and every one on behalf of my family. Thank you for your prayers, words of encouragement. Thank the leadership for this opportunity. We're just going to look at a short passage. Don't have a lot of time. You turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at a few verses there. And the theme verse will be verse 17. 2 Peter 3 and 17. It says there, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness." Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for another year, but another opportunity that your grace is available. For us who are growing from grace to grace, from strength to strength, but for those who are lost, and the grace of God is available. Even when sin abound, your grace abounds much more. So we pray that someone here who does not know the Lord would come to know him before it's too late. And the people of God would be strengthened and edified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have heard many profound teachings throughout the year. Really good Bible studies. And some of us on our own went on and we studied and we have grown by the Holy Spirit in faith and in knowledge of Christ. But lest we become complacent, we have to guard that which we have been building on. It is so easy when we've got the word, and especially brethren, we have this rich knowledge of the word of God, and we can take it for granted. And perhaps it doesn't affect us. But Peter wants to show us something here in this letter, a couple of instructions. I'm glad I heard what Ricky mentioned today, because he kind of stooped right into my message. I thought it was someone else, but he gave a really good example. Peter gives us four simple instructions about steadfastness, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. Steadfastness, I found a great definition in Daniel 11 and 32. And we want to look at that really quick. And this is a New Living Translation, and it reads thus. He says, "He will flatter," and he there speaks of the king of the north, "will flatter and win over those who violate the covenant." But the last part of the verse is key. It says, "But the people who know their God," and it doesn't say "shall" like the King James or the New King James, "people who know their God will be strong and resist him." The steadfastness, we heard a lot of it in the testimonies tonight. Steadfastness in the Lord are for those who know their God. Know their God, and they're strong, and they resist the enemy. The first instruction Peter gives us, he says to remember. Look at verse 1. He said, "Beloved, I write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord." Now, Peter uses this term "beloved," which speaks of Christians who are united with each other in the bonds of love. Peter, being very close to death, and he comes off in this, especially in this last part of the letter, in a very soft tone. He uses the word "beloved" four times in this chapter, before each instruction that he's about to give. In chapter 1, he gives a beautiful explanation of what the beloved is. Chapter 1, 2 Peter 1 and 1, the last part of the verse, he says, to them that have obtained precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The beloved, as we are saints, those who are saved, the beloved are those who have like precious faith. And they have the imputed righteousness. We learned that through Bible study. Remember that? The imputed righteousness of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter calls us to remember the scriptures and the apostles' doctrine. Why? Paul gives an answer. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There's profit in the word of God. I was very impressed from the late President Carter when they had interviewed him, and he mentioned that he and his wife read the scripture daily in the morning. Daily. And he taught in Sunday school. So there is profit in the word of God. 77 years of marriage, and he lived to 100. There is profit in the word of God. What should they remember? Peter mentions in verse 3. He says, first thing, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? These scoffers or mockers, they come, and their purpose solely is to question the validity of God's word. And that is very serious, saints. The validity of God's word. Remember the serpent and Eve? What did he do? He was questioning the validity of God's word, the command God gave to Adam, and Adam was to pass on to Eve. He questioned that and caused her to eat the fruit. These scoffers or mockers, they're no different than their father, the devil, who came for the purpose to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And this is what, saints, this is why when we study God's word, we have to be very careful that we are steadfast in meditating on his word, because the enemy desires to destroy. Our brother mentioned about just being saved, and you're tested. I remember being tested going to college, just being saved. And I didn't know much about scripture. But I knew enough that I was going to stand firm. I'm not going to buckle. These scoffers, they willingly forget that God will bring the wicked into judgment. Imagine they know the word of God. Some of them could be in our midst. Some would come into the assemblies. They know the word of God, but yet still they dare question the word of the eternal God. Paul reminds us of some of these. He says, when he was about to depart as well, he says in Acts 20, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in, and among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves will rise up those speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember. Paul and Peter both concur that we should remember God's word. We've been receiving so much of the word of God. Let us not cast it aside. Let us be careful that we are steadfast and immovable. Second thing, Peter, instruction he gives us. He says, beloved, here goes that term, beloved again, dear, and in that term of endearment. He says, don't forget. Don't forget. In other words, be informed. One day is as 1,000 years. This is in verse 8 of chapter 3 there. One day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. God's timetable is not ours. if we were in control of our own timetable, we probably would want to wipe out all the evil and we would want the Lord to come today. But God's timetable, because he's long-suffering, is not ours. Jesus gives us an example in Mark 13 about God's timetable. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's word will outlast time, so we can stand on his word. The promises of God's long-suffering affects the godly and the ungodly. God is not slack concerning his promises. What does that mean? It means he's going to accomplish exactly what he said he's going to do. He's going to accomplish it, and he's going to do it in his own time. And to steal from Brother Cato, in his own timetable. For the godly, he promises new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells, in verse 13. And Peter reminds us, and there are many more exceedingly great and precious promises. As a matter of fact, the promises of God, and this is on the side, the promises of God came before the law. Why is that important? Because the law is weak. So if the promises of God was based on the law, then these mockers, false teachers, they would have an argument to question God's word. But it came before law. So the promises of God, we can stand on it because Jesus Christ, who came in the form of a man, humbled himself, and he died. He was born under the law so that we who are under the law might be saved. For the ungodly, he promises judgment and perdition. We see that in verse 7. But you know, God is not pleased in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel 33 reminds us. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. And we heard about that in the testimonies tonight. Those who have turned from their way and live, God is not willing that any should perish. If you hear tonight and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not going to have a party at 12 o'clock because many unrighteous died this year. He's not willing that any should perish. Instruction number 3. Peter says, be diligent. Verse 14, he says, therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, blameless, and consider that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. To be diligent is to be prepared. Because the Lord is coming. And when you read chapter 3, you'll see that. As a thief in the night for the ungodly. But he is coming. And how will he find us? At peace. And peace speaks of self-control and brotherly kindness. We heard a beautiful message of that the other day. Our brother reminded us of brotherly kindness. Without spot, that speaks of moral excellence and godliness. And then blameless, it speaks of holy conduct. How are we to be when the Lord returns? And which could be at any moment. It could be tonight. How are we living? We know our God. We who know our God, we must examine ourselves as to what manner of persons we ought to be. God's long suffering during this period of grace which we live now is an opportunity for the ungodly to hear the gospel. And those who are here that don't know the Lord, and the gospel is simply this. Peter gives us it in 1 Peter 3 and 18. He said, for Christ suffered for sins. Our sins separated us from God. But God, Jesus, wants to bring us to God. And how can he do that? He must die. For Christ suffered for sins. The just, he's the just one. He is sinless. And we're the unjust. And he died so that he might save us while we were still in our sin. While we were still sinner, God wanted to justify us. And he wants to do that for you. You see, there's no cleaning up act. No New Year's resolution. Come just as you are. Come now, because today is the day of salvation. He was put to death in the flesh. And that speaks of Calvary. Christ died, but made alive by the Spirit. And now he is that second Adam, the life-giving Spirit, and he desires to give life to whosoever that would believe in him. He said, should not perish, John 3:16 reminds us, but have everlasting life. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? There is only one way, and he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So we are to be informed, we are to be aware, we are to remember. And then lastly, he says, beware, beware, verse 17. He says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this, know all of these things, what God is going to do. It speaks of God is going to destroy everything we see and know, and is going to melt with fervent heat. He promised that even back in Noah's day. Seeing that we know all of these things, and the fact that there's going to be new heavens and new earth, he says, beware, lest you fall from your own steadfastness. It is an individual thing. Being led away by the error of the wicked. To beware lest you fall is not speaking of losing your salvation. As I just mentioned, we are in Christ. And unless Christ fall, we're not going to fall. And we know that he is God and he is eternal. But it refers to steadfastness of mind. That's the mind of Christ. And faith. Faith in God. It is a lack of strength to resist. Remember what steadfastness is, right? Those who know their God, they will be strong and they will resist. We are to resist false teachers. We are to resist those mockers. We are to resist the devil that he will flee. But if we are mindful and remember the word, and we are informed, and we're diligent, Paul gives us this response, then we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We should no longer be children. But we should be growing. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on to say we should be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then Peter says we should grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter's instruction is so insightful. It is something that we do regularly. It highlights the importance of fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And saints, we've been doing that faithfully. And so maybe I'm preaching to the choir. But God caused the early church to grow. How do we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? We have the simple apostles' doctrine, which we've been learning. And we've been growing in by the help of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, saints, when we keep these instructions, we glorify God. Peter closes out as he was close to his departure, and he says, to him be glory, both now and forevermore. Saints, let us not give up ground on all that we've gained through the knowledge of God's word. as we apply it to our lives, not just for 2025 going on, but we should start now. Notice what Peter says there at the end. Now and forevermore. To God be the glory. Amen.